Chad Cervenansky, 8530 West Hawthorne Lane. I just want to clarify something. Is the area directly behind Hawthorne Lane, the west side of the rock property, is that entire area going to be excavated to build the indoor sports complex? Are they digging that whole area up?
I don't have an answer to that.
Large portions.
So what are they doing with the garbage that's in there?
That's not Phil.
It's garbage, I know it is.
Relocated on site.
You're going to move garbage from one area to another? Okay.
You relocated on site under guidelines dictated by the Department of Natural Resources.
I thought the original understanding was that there wasn't going to be any building allowed on top of areas where there was waste.
I'm not sure where you came to that conclusion. I think it's been discussed since the beginning in the original project plan. There was an outlay for excavation of unsuitable soils.
So anywhere where there's garbage, you can technically build now?
Subject to approval by the DNR. There's been a landfill modification plan that's been submitted and approved by the DNR. You can review the guidelines of that document and what's been approved.
Okay, well, I've been coming to these meetings.
They have the authority from the DNR, who has the expertise associated with these items, to undertake the action subject to local approval of the building plans.
Okay, well, originally they said there would not be any building allowed on top of waste. So what changed? What happened here?
Date is, and that's a question for the DNR. I mean, it's a submittal to them. They reviewed it. They made a determination under their guidelines and have granted the approval. So if there's a suggestion that there was a change, that's a change that was made by the DNR,
okay,
then I think it's worthwhile following up that conversation with them. We've said since the beginning that we entrust in the DNR process. They have the expertise for oversight over this landfill. They have the expertise having worked on other landfill sites, and they have the authority to make those determinations.
I've never heard of anybody digging up a landfill to build on top of it. Has that ever occurred anywhere in the country?
I don't think
anybody's ever built on top of a land, dug up the garbage to build on top of it. You're disrupting the entire methane system that's currently back there now. What's going to happen when you dig that up? Is that going to affect the water table now of all the homes along Hawthorne Lane? How do you know how that's going to affect the water that's currently along all the homes along Hawthorne Lane?
And the city of Burlington's done it. Miller Park is on top of a landfill. There's all kinds of them.
Who's paying? I know you mentioned something a few minutes ago. Who's paying to dig that whole area up back there? Who's paying for the to move the waste?
Well, it depends. It's under discussion.
Is that the DNR, the city of Franklin, or
no? It's essentially the developer, but it's under discussion as to whether we'll participate as part of the development agreement.
So, if you're going to participate in that financially, are you going to participate financially in hooking up all the citizens on Hawthorne Lane with sewer and water?
We'd be willing to survey the folks on Hawthorne as to whether they'd like to have sewer and water. But those hookups are all determined by state law, and there would be a cost sharing with the residents.
That should have been included in the TIF. If you're going to be giving millions of dollars for somebody to build on top of a landfill, why didn't you include the sewer and water in the TIF?
Can make improvements outside the TIF boundaries, but the improvements made outside the TIF boundaries have to have a benefit to the district itself. And so I think we would look for some sort of legal opinion about whether or not such an expenditure here is a benefit to the TIF district. I think that's a separate question about whether or not it's necessary.
Well, if you're going to be digging up a landfill with waste, you better look into hooking the people up with sewer and water. I can tell you that right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Mr. Slansky.
Good Scott Solansky, 8565 South 68th Street, Franklin, Wisconsin. I've asked this question before, and to be quite honest, Mayor, I don't know if I got a clear answer, but the county has an option to purchase the landfill with the developer, and it appeared that it was contingent upon a developer successfully petitioning the city of Franklin to amend the TID to include the cost for the remediation of the landfill, in other words, putting in the pipes and the flare and the blower and everything else at a cost of $3.7 million, and that the new Oak Leaf Trail improvements of $170,000 for a total of $3.8 million in change. So when I was looking at all the different documentations, the property owner is either the county or going to be some developer. So I've got two questions. One, has the city been petitioned to include this additional remediation costs? And number two, if it has, why would the city be taking on that cost when it's a county property and or now going to be a private investor's property? It's not, never was Franklin's property. So could you answer those two questions? Is the city going to pay a minimum of $3.7 million to put in a brand-new remediation, which will include, as you just indicated, not one but two flares? Because we don't want to miss it when we're flying over an airplane. We've got to have at least one but two flares so we can see the rock.
Well, you either get repairs and an upgraded methane system with two flares, or you get what you got. I can't understand this. You do and you don't.
Mayor, as Alderman Wilhelm said, let's try to get to the facts. Okay, on me.
You asked me two questions. Let me answer them. Okay? The first question is we don't have an application to change that. We're aware of the numbers, but I'm not party to that contract. So until we get a formal application to change it, we haven't. Are we aware of the $3 million for the methane system? Yes. Will the city do that? Listening to the constituents, don't you think we owe it to you?
To do it?
Yeah.
Why would you think we would want you to clean up someone else's mess?
It's not cleaning up someone's mess.
You're remediating the mess.
Oh, we're mitigating it.
You're mitigating the mess that the Franklin, city of Franklin, did not create. Okay, the Milwaukee County
created. Here again, do you want us to be a part of fixing a problem for you? Or don't you? I just heard three people tell me that they have a problem with that. And now you're telling me you don't. I can't understand this.
Wait a minute. Wait, Mr. Mayor. You're confusing everything. My question to you is, the city going to pay $3.7 million to remediate that landfill because the developer wants to put a stadium on it? That $3.7 million does not have to be spent if that stadium doesn't go on there. So don't confuse things. That landfill can stay the way it is without a $3.7 million mediation. My question is to you, why would the city get involved in remediating someone else's mess when you did not create it? Milwaukee County created it, and now a developer owns it.
Milwaukee County will not do it. So
that's right.
So I go back to my original question. Do you want it fixed or not?
I don't want it fixed. I don't want any development on it.
See, neighbors? He does not want...
Wait a minute, Mr. Mayor. Don't start twisting things
around
here.
That's exactly what's happening.
That's right. Mr. Zimmerman should fix it.
That's a different answer.
Okay. Let me ask another couple of questions. You're going to vote to allow this to go ahead and start construction.
No.
And yet... No?
This is a change to the use.
No. If you look at the site plan, there's also one that will allow him to start construction on it immediately.
On infrastructure, yes.
Right. Why? Once you start construction, this whole TIF district becomes in motion.
No.
You start to work on it.
Once we borrow money and expend money, then it happens, yeah.
And you're probably going to borrow money to expend money to start putting the roads in there.
After we do a development.
So the question is, why would you not table this until all these questions have been answered?
Because it's the next step in making things happen.
No, the next step was to have all 39 options completed first. You promised us you would dot the I's and cross the T's.
And we're doing just that.
No, because if I understand correctly, the city engineer has not completed his analysis. The Department of Planning has not looked at all the changes because the changes were not marked properly. A new physical statement has not been created based on this new analysis for the TIF district. So there's a lot of open questions that have not been answered, and you're skipping the process.
You're welcome to that opinion. It's not correct, but you're welcome to it.
Okay.
Well, where is he wrong?
Why? Has the city engineer completed their analysis of all the new changes?
No, but that's not...
Okay. Has the planning department completed their analysis of the changes?
What we have in front of us...
Is there a storm sewer analysis been completed based on the changes?
A storm sewer analysis.
A storm water analysis.
It's in process.
Okay. So I'm just saying none of these things have been completed, but you're going to go ahead and allow and vote on this to allow them to start digging. Yes
what
or no?
They will dig is not related to that.
And are you going to allow them to start digging before everything is complete? Yes or no?
Before some things are complete, yes.
Now you want to know why there's frustration on our side? Because the perception is you promised us I's dotted, T's crossed, and now we're skipping steps.
We're not skipping steps.
Oh, and one last question, okay? Because I'm kind of old here and kind of confused. But when I looked at the applicant for these changes, it was called the Ballpark Commons LLC. And then I'm glad Mr. Zimmerman is here because I'm sure he can clear me up. Then he said the property owners were Milwaukee County, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Zimmar Properties LLC, FFNE LLC. Okay, why isn't the applicant one of the property owners?
Mr. Deedle?
It's not uncommon that they're not. It's their choice.
Okay.
As long as the owners sign on the application form, the applicant can be anybody.
Okay. I happened to get a copy of the option to purchase the landfill with the county and a developer, and it says the developer who's buying the property from the county, it's signed Mike Zimmerman of BPC County Land LLC. I don't see BPC County Land LLC as one of the property owners that was supplied to the city. Why is that? Why are there two property owners being thrown out here?
That's between the county and Mr. Zimmerman. We have no... That has nothing to do with it.
I'll make this simpler to you. The county is selling the land, okay? The land,
right.
The landfill, okay, to a company called BPC County Land LLC.
And the current landowner is Milwaukee County, and they're an applicant. They're on that application.
But they're selling it to this guy, this LLC. BP County Land LLC is not the same name as what they've got on here as Zimmar Properties LLC as property owners.
That application was filed prior to the land transfer. So the land, well, who is the current landowner of that property?
Gee, wouldn't that be a nice idea?
The current landowner is Milwaukee County.
And they're selling it to?
It doesn't matter. When that application was filed, Milwaukee County was the landowner. That's all that matters.
All I'm saying, there seems to be confusion as to who eventually will be this landowner.
BPC Ventures, whatever it was.
Who's going to own the land? Which of these two companies?
I think the way that this is formatted is you can ask them any question you want.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if that's the right format.
Okay.
We'll get
I
you the answer to that. But the reason we're getting...
In the meantime...
It's questions such as that that causes the confusion. It's a red herring.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Scott. Anyone else? Anyone else? Ms. Kerr. Good evening.
Good evening. Dana Gant, 9011 West Hawthorne Lane. My questions are, who will pay for the municipal water services infrastructure and hookups if the neighborhood water service becomes contaminated?
What's that, city engineer or city attorney?
Depends why it becomes contaminated. If it's a liability of the landfill, in short order, liability on landfill properties primarily is to the owner. Under the county agreements, there is a provision for county liability for pre-transfer, assuming the transfer occurs. Never assume anything. Don't assume approvals of the rezone. Don't assume that a development agreement will be reached. Don't assume automatically that the county land transfer will happen. But in that event, there's also provisions within the county required agreement terms for environmental liability insurance. So theoretically or hypothetically, there would be a claim made for that.
So when you say the owner's liability, you're saying the owner of the landfill would be obligated as opposed to the owners, homeowners in the neighborhood. If there's contamination resulted from the excavations and compression of the landfill, is that correct?
There's different levels of insurance where contractors involved in the project, if it goes forward, also have to be insured against claims or for claims, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Is this final cost analysis for if the water is contaminated and the neighborhood needs to be put on municipal water services, is that part of the budget being proposed or approved?
No.
Interesting. There are many reports indicating hazardous waste, including harbor spoils, are in this landfill that have a history of illegal dumping and mismanagement. In a 1986 letter from the DNR, it states, records show some hazardous wastes, including heavy metals, organics, and solvents, are deposited in this landfill. I have a copy of this letter. I'd like to put it for the public record, please. This is just one example. There's many, many records showing that there is toxic waste in this landfill, so I'm bringing it to everyone's attention. So when this gets excavated and compressed and the water is contaminated, it's obviously going to be a problem. Other reports show high levels of VOCs and other carcinogenic components. Disrupting this closed landfill will disturb these contaminants. I realize that there's a methane system that's operating presently, and people that were protected and things like that presently. But if you start disrupting the landfill, it will obviously impact all these different aspects, methane, leachate, water supplies. I see that the questions for 19 and 20 of the site plan pertaining to cost analysis and the value of structures is not answered. The project has dramatically changed regarding all aspects of the development plan, yet the financials are not answered. It just states, and I quote, the TIF projections have been updated with recent city meetings. Where is this public access to review this revised financial information for the TIF District Number 5? And will it be available on the website prior to any construction being started?
The analysis and the gathering of financial data is still ongoing, so there isn't a document yet. Once that document's produced and submitted to the Common Council, yes, it'll be public record, of course.
And will it be submitted for public review prior to you starting your infrastructure?
I think it needs to be, yes.
Okay. And when is your projected time frame for that?
Mr. Hertzberg, do you have an answer to that?
Within the next month.
Okay. Okay. Also, has anyone addressed the previous discovered pocket of methane gas located under the landfill? I have another letter here that from the Milwaukee County from Hydro Research that cites a series of gas pockets between 63 feet and 83 feet found underground located near the intersection of Crystal Ridge Road and Rawson Avenue. An examination of this letter would indicate that a gas pocket discovered at 83 feet remained under significant pressure when capped for 18 hours of unrestricted venting. Such pressure was described in a letter as sufficient to lift a 3/4-inch stone more than 25 feet in the air. Please note that the indicated locations at this, the location of this boring was where the indicated location is the central hub for the proposed development near the indoor sports facility, minor league stadium, and one of the main entry points for this proposed development. The presence of this gas was considered so extensive at the time that a plan for another nearby monitoring well boring system was abandoned. My question is, has the existence of this series of gas pockets been evaluated?
That's a DNR Milwaukee County question. we can't answer.
But all the soil borings performed and reported on the July 27, 2016 report did not even exceed 75 feet. And five of the 11 borings performed for this report, there were auger refusal between 26 and 30 feet. So no information is available on what is below that level. If there has not been a thorough analysis of this pre-existing gas pocket, how can the development proceed?
Well, there's an assumption in your statement that I don't know that I'd agree with. I don't know what was not studied. That, again, is the purview of the DNR and Milwaukee County.
It's part of the PSI. It's the soil boring logs that's available for the public to review.
Part of the DNR and Milwaukee County.
So if there's not been a thorough analysis of this pre-existing gas pocket, how can you invite 4,000 attendees to sit on or near this large methane pocket? Well, it seems problematic with differential soils and settling. So how is this going to be addressed?
Again, you make a conclusion and a leading question. Again, it's a DNR and Milwaukee County research and issue that I can't speak to whether they looked to it or not, but I'm certain that they did, just knowing that they're thorough.
But my concern is obviously you're
asking me that question.
Okay.
Is meaningless. I don't have any control over that.
My concern is that you're obviously enabling this project, so you're kind of approving all these aspects of the historic landfill.
And again, I don't know that we have any of these documents. So,
okay. I'd be happy to send you lots if you want them.
I know you would, but
okay. I will probably do that. The PSI excavation bore study for the developer from July 27, 2016 did not even notify the neighbors within 110 feet of this abandoned auger that was allowing for unrestricted venting for a full 2 weeks. The homes were not even notified or warned that unsafe levels of methane were so prevalent as to not allow the contractor to finish the soil boring for a full 2 weeks. This gives me concern that the developer has no concern or regard for the neighboring properties.
Again, you take an issue that a contractor brings to attention and then project it onto the developer.
It's still protocol. I mean, if you're someone's boss, you're supposed to watch over them.
Okay.
That's my opinion, and I'm sure most people would agree with that. It's just protocol. The developer's own narrative portion of the BP Ballpark Commons Planning Commission submission in section 15.9, titled Explanation of Why the Stormwater Pond Must Be Adjacent to the River, states the retention pond must be located off the waste mass because of concerns of weight compressing underlying waste and potentially squeezing contaminants and methane in directions it didn't previously migrate. It goes on to say that this scenario of squeezing the waste mass creates liabilities that can be avoided by working outside the waste mass. Now I read that the excavated waste mass of approximately 70,000 cubic yards is going to be top-loaded on the landfill and placed uphill or adjacent to the proposed retention pond. At the Root River is located in close proximity and downhill from this proposed relocated waste mass location. Why can't the excavated waste mass be removed to another facility?
I couldn't even follow that. That was so
long. Okay. If you're excavating waste mass for the 25,000 indoor sports facility, why can't you take it off-site and have it at another facility? Just when you're removing the waste mass that has unknown contaminants, why top load it and put it on the landfill when it could very easily be taken somewhere else?
Well, I tell you, again, you're making a judgment decision. It's a cost-benefit analysis,
mm-hmm.
Pure and simple.
So it's all about money?
Everything is about money.
Okay.
Do you have much more?
Yes, I do. I'd like just a little bit.
12 minutes into a three-minute conversation.
Does anybody want to give me their time?
It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
Aside from
I just have a couple more
sets. People who have other things to do. So.
Okay. My question is, how is the engineering load of this excavated weight mass with unknown contents any different than this load that they're trying to avoid for the water retention pond? Can an engineer answer that question?
Mr. City Engineer, and if you have a lot more of these, why don't you schedule an appointment with the city engineer?
I just have a couple more sentences, actually.
Okay. And I don't want to... I respect what you're saying. You're a very intelligent woman, and I'm not being condescending at all. You are, and I appreciate what you're saying. most of the questions you're asking have nothing to do with the city, and we don't have answers for it. So, you know, Mr. City Engineer. Judy, I'm going to ask you to leave.
The pond actually has water in it, obviously. How deep the pond is, that's a lot of work. I can tell you that part of the analysis that the consultant did with DNR looked at every location, things that were being constructed, the weights of them, and how that would kind of suggest the
because obviously, not knowing the contents, it's hard to say it's fill soil and what the weight is or whatever, things like that. So to do a calculation, how can they know what it is when they don't know what they're going to be digging up?
Well, the waste material would be located on the site. And so they had to make some assumptions about that. Mm-hmm.
How can the developer guarantee that the compression will not squeeze contaminants and methane into other areas, including the river, if they're going to be, part of the plan is that they're going to be compressing, they're going to stack up the excavated waste mass, and then they're going to compress it with machinery. Okay, and I'm also requesting that the 3-month building permit deadline extension not be approved. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Knoll, good evening.
Bob Knoll, 8610 West Hawthorne Lane, Franklin, Wisconsin. Earlier I sent an email about the the April 4th, 2016 amendment to the Plan Development District 37, which had a number of specific conditions in it which were required to be met in order for this development to go forward, one of which was number 27, which was that the time limit is going to be 24 months from the date of April 4th, 2016. For the first building permit to be issued, or this land rezoning would revert back to the existing zoning before that amendment was granted. That deadline is coming up April 4th, 2018. There is nothing in that ordinance that permits an extension of that time. Please don't extend the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Noll. You want to address that? Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Seeing no one else rise, I'll close the citizens' comment period. This evening, we've got a couple of really cool things to do. First of all, I do want to point out that we have had some retirements here in the City Hall of some very valued employees. Last Friday was the last day for our building inspector of 44 and a half years, Fred Baumgart. We have a rather substantial proclamation for him. Fred's a relatively private guy, and he asked that no fanfare be made of his retirement, but I think it's fair to recognize the achievements that Fred has done for the city. In essence, most of the buildings in this city have his thumbprint on them. And I was pleased last Friday to be joined by former Mayor Collins as we both tandem read this proclamation to Fred. So if any of you have the opportunity to wish Fred well on his retirement, it's well deserved, and we were pleased that he was in our employ for 44 and a half years. Second longest serving employee in the city, second only to a former city engineer. So we all wish Fred well. And then another good thing that we get to do is do a proclamation for our substance abuse program. The folks from Volition are here. Who's going to join me, Bill?
We will join you.
Excellent.